we started this series. Our first message was on the building of a Christian home. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't build a Christian home without knowing Christ as your Savior. Amen. Christ is the foundation for any Christian home. And we talked about the Son of God and the Book of God and the plan of God, which was love, marriage, intimacy, and children. Amen. That's still God's plan. Amen. No matter what the world says. Amen. It's still supposed to be in that order. And we looked at the wisdom of God and how important the house of God is and a commitment to God to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. In our second message, we looked at the leadership of the Christian home. I know the world mocks at this and the world makes fun, but sir, you are supposed to lead your home. Amen. There's an assault on that in the media, in television, but we talked about the leadership of a Christian home and the importance and the beginning and the basis and the fallibility of leadership and the scope of leadership and the motivator of leadership ought to be love. Amen. Someone has said, if you love your wife right, she'll have no problem following your leadership. And to that I say, amen, amen, and amen. In our third week, we looked at the structure of a Christian home. We looked at the husband leading in love, and we looked at the wife submissive in spirit, and we looked at the children to have an oath of obedience. In our fourth week, we looked at the commandments of the Christian home, and I will not list all 25 of them, as Brother Bykirk made fun of me about that. Amen. He said, 3 points, Pastor. You're supposed to have 3 points. And I said, well, that message had more points than a porcupine. Amen. 25 points. But some of them that we could just kind of highlight a little bit. Thou shalt teach your family the Word of God, parents. It's important every day to have time in the Word of God. Shut the television off and have some time in the Word of God. How about thou shalt forgive one another? Amen. Want to keep your home together? Learn those words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Say, Pastor, I don't like that. Let me just clue you in on something. I don't like that either sometimes, but it's still right. Help me, church. Amen. Help me. Thou shalt not go to bed angry with one another. How important that is. Fathers, thou shalt not provoke your children to wrath. Thou shalt not allow any bitterness in your home. And we went through all 25. Then we looked at the discipline of a Christian home. How important discipline is. And we looked at the fact that discipline springs from love. And discipline teaches. And discipline must take place during youth. Amen. It talks about chasten thy son while there is hope. Discipline warns of consequences. It's the reward of wrongdoing. It purges out evil. It drives out foolishness. It keeps people out of hell, the Bible says. It makes children wise and it brings rest and delight. And then we looked at the conflicts of the Christian home. And ladies and gentlemen, as long as we still have flesh on our bones, there will be conflicts. And we looked at the reality of conflicts and we looked at the root of conflicts. And then we looked at some results of conflicts. And then we looked at some remedies to avoid conflicts. Well, this is our last message now on the wrecking of a Christian home. We look at the home of Solomon. And the Bible teaches us here that Solomon had a great start. You know, I think of the young people in our church that you have the privilege of having Christian parents. You've got a great start. You really do. You say, but you don't know my parents and you don't know how to... Listen, stop that. Stop that. You've got a great start. Amen. You really do. The Lord has blessed you with it. And here's Solomon. God asked him, what do you want? And I got to tell you something. The average teenager, if God were to appear to them and say, what do you want? I think we'd be in trouble. But Solomon said, listen, I'm going to rule this people and I have no idea, Brother Becker, what to do. Just please give me wisdom. And God said, you know what? Because you asked for that, I'll give you all the other things. And for years, God blessed Solomon as he surrendered to and served him. And listen, we have the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Most of it written by Solomon. The book that follows, Ecclesiastes, another book of great wisdom. Solomon gave us that. But he had a tragic ending. Have you ever seen a wreck? I mean, with your own two eyes. Robin Owen just showed me this Wednesday. God protected her in a miraculous way. Her DOT truck looks like a crumpled accordion. She just happened to not be in it. God protected her and preserved her in a special way. You can ask her after the service. She's got it on her phone there. She showed it to me. I couldn't believe it. But it was a wreck. I've been in wrecks before. I remember the first wreck I ever got in. I was driving down Northampton Street in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and I was driving along, and all of a sudden, I'm driving along about 35 miles an hour. From me to Brother Jones, they decided to take a left right in front of me. And I had a choice between oncoming traffic, an 8-foot retaining wall, or the side of that car. And I had to make it in a second. I hit the car. If you've ever been part of a wreck before, you know that they take place so quickly. But every piece, you know, next week it's the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Folks, I still, and I mentioned it last week, I still tear up every time I see the second plane hit the tower, the South Tower. They're watching and the smoke is pouring out. And they finally got the camera on the towers and they see the smoke pouring out. And then all of a sudden, in that right side of the screen, you see this plane come in and boom. And that fireball shoots out the side. And in just a matter of minutes, ladies and gentlemen, that which took engineers and craftsmen years to construct came crumbling down. You see, it takes a long time to build something. It takes a second to wreck it. We talked about this morning, one morsel of meat. It could take one bad decision to wreck all that you've built over all these years. I don't know about you, but I was blessed tonight. I want to be, if God would allow me to, I want to be married to my Carrie for 63 years. Amen. I know you do too. Amen. I don't want to wreck my home. I don't want my kids to bitter up at me. And failures in a home can be greatly reduced through inspection. I'll never forget, I was talking yesterday about this. I was in aerospace quality for almost 15 years. And there was a time, if you know anything about the turbine engine has discs and it has stators. The discs have blades on them that take in the air, they compress it, they crush it, and it makes the power. Well, there was a time where I was in inspection and they showed us what had happened one time was a disc on an engine that was on the tarmac. When you hear your engine boosting up, if you've ever flown, and they start really grinding it up, that a disc, Brother Mark, cut loose. It literally broke apart in three pieces. It cut through the fuselage like a saw blade. It literally took a man's head. He was putting his bag underneath the seat, which we've all done if you've flown. And they went back and they looked. And they were looking at the root cause of what had happened. Why did that disc fail? And there's a procedure that if you've ever been in automotive or aerospace, it's called FPI, fluorescent penetrant inspection. They soak it in a fluorescent dye, and then they look at it. And if there's any cracks, they can see it. Well, what had happened was, Brother Curry, there was a stack of discs. And that person got pulled away from their desk, and they thought they had checked one, so they checked it off that they had checked it and moved it over. But they didn't. And when you go back and you look at that failure, it was a failure of inspection. You know what, folks, we need to do is to constantly be in a state of inspecting our lives in inspecting our homes to keep them from becoming a wreck. Let me give you some, I'll give you a five, six, eight areas tonight how the devil wrecks a home. How he wrecks a home. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 3. And we'll be in Genesis chapter 3 a little bit here. And always reminds me every time I have my Bible, I need to retire this Bible because Genesis chapter 3 is right here. Amen. And it's came right out. It tore right up. I've got a Bible just like this, but you know what? Some Bibles you just love having. Amen. And this is one of them. I use this one all the time. The first way that Satan will wreck a Christian home will be through something very little, something very small. Listen to me, young people. He will use doubt. Doubt. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You see, God had told Adam and Eve they could eat of every tree of the garden, except one. They weren't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God twisted it here, and if we could say, and many preachers have said it, God put a, or Satan put a question mark where God had put a period. And Satan will wreck your Christian home through doubt. He tries to get you, first of all, to doubt God's Word. I have so appreciated, Brother Sammons, this series on the King James Bible. Listen, there are times when I read verses and I say, I don't understand that. That's a hard verse. That doesn't mean it should come out because I don't understand it. Amen? It doesn't mean it, the wording should be changed just because I don't understand it. But there are those times and Satan will come and he'll try to get you to doubt this book. And I'll tell you why he tries to get us so hard to doubt this book. It's the weapon we have against him. And so I love that slide, Brother Sammons, where it's so dusty and it said, read me. Listen, that's a perfect Bible for the devil. Dusty. In pristine condition, never used, gets picked up on Sunday, open, closed, back on Monday, and doesn't see another thing until Sunday. Listen, he tries to get us to doubt the Word of God. You know what else he does in our day? He tries to get us to doubt God's goodness. Listen, God's a good God. But what he'll do is he'll show floods. And hurricanes and tornadoes. And he'll say, if God is good, how could he just fill in the blank? And it's a trying to get to doubt God's goodness. Even in our homes, sometimes, you know, I was talking to the Howlands about this yesterday. We were just sharing some things, and Brother Howland was telling me at one point in his business, he was $350,000 in debt. And I don't know about you, I'm in debt, but $350,000 is a big check to write every month. And he told me, he said it was like literally a weight on my neck. And I did, and it, had it not been for my faith in God, I would have never got through. But there are some people that will look and say, God, if you're good, how come I'm... It's amazing, isn't it, how Satan tempts us. When we're doing so well, we never thank God. And when things don't go right, we raise our fists to God. How come you fill in the blank? Why? It all springs from that sin of doubt, getting to doubt God's Word and God's goodness. And even while I say this, ladies and gentlemen, God's severity. Did you know our neighbors, whether we witness to them or not, are still going to heaven or hell, one or the other? You say, what does that mean? God, this is what God said. Thou, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And he tries to get us to doubt that. Even in our homes, he tries to get us to doubt one another. Perhaps a wife doubting her husband's authority, or a husband doubting his wife in this area, that area. He just gets that little seed of doubt in there. And it leads to a wreck. Number two, not only doubt, but I think so importantly, still in Genesis chapter 3, of something that has wrecked many a Christian home is found in verse number 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took." Not only doubt, but could I say this? Number 2, dabbling. Dabbling. You see, God had said, "You're not supposed to eat of that tree." Amen? That should be enough. But what did she do? She got to, the devil, of course, conned her, and she got to looking at it. She got to thinking about how good that fruit really looked. And it was pleasant. And I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, you dabble with sin, and you'll sin. Amen? You get to dabbling, you get to looking at how good something quote-unquote looks, and it will be very, very soon you will be knee-deep in the muck of sin. My dear friend, Dr. Phil Tharp, he used to preach a message called "Stay Away from the Edge." I like it. You know, you never have to worry about falling off the edge if you're this far back away from it. You know who was an edge believer? Lot was an edge believer. You know who wasn't an edge believer? Moses. He said to Pharaoh, "No, we're not staying in Egypt. We're going 3 days' journey away, out from the world." Amen? Dabbling. You get to dabbling, and you will sin. You will wreck what has taken you all those years to build. Doubt. Dabbling. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. All the way back in the New Testament there, almost towards the back of your Bible. James chapter number 4. Something else. Just a little side note here. I want to say how much I appreciate our young men that sometimes are forced to work on Sunday nights. I know Keith sometimes does, and I think Heath does tonight, and JJ, but they come to service and stay as long as they can and then go to work. They don't have to do that. You know, they could just stay home, and I appreciate that very, very much, young men. James chapter 4, look at verse 17. We look at the third way that Satan will wreck a home. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." What's a third way that Satan get us to wreck our homes? Not only doubt and dabbling, but dereliction. You say, what's dereliction? Dereliction, just like in the military, is when you know what you are supposed to do and you refuse to do it. You refuse. "I know I'm supposed to fill in the blank, but I'm busy. Or I'm tired. Or I'm..." Listen, folks. If God told us to do something, we're supposed to do it. Sir, let me tell you what I have seen in Christianity and in my own life. Some dereliction of Ephesians 5:25. "Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." "Well, you don't know my wife." "Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." "But she never submits." "Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Amen. "But pastor, you don't know my husbands." "Wives, submit yourselves as to your own husbands as unto the Lord." As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Amen. You see, but we excuse it away, and we have our dereliction of our duty, and Satan gets a foothold in our homes, folks. And it ought not to be so. Amen. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. Listen, you want a good marriage? It takes work. You want to build a Christian home? It takes work. You want to wreck it? It doesn't take much of anything. Just let it go. Dereliction. Number four, not only doubt and dabbling in dereliction, but plain old disobedience. This is the opposite of dereliction. Dereliction is not doing the things you know you ought to do. Disobedience is doing the things that God has specifically prohibited. Disobedience. Listen, I am a new father. Some of you have raised your crop. Some of you are raising your crop. Amen. One of the things I will not suffer from my young children, because the Bible says chasing them while there's hope. One of the things I will not suffer, Brother Holy, is disobedience to a direct command. Come here. Come here. Come here. Because, you know, if they'd have come the first time, we'd have been better, Brother Jones. Amen. It'd have been a lot better. But I'll tell you what, God with us, the Bible says He chastens His children when we're disobedient. And as we learned this morning, ladies and gentlemen, one choice can have a great consequence. Do you know how many men have played around on their wives? You know what that is? That's just plain old disobedience. That's what it is. It's not an affair. Help me. It's not an affair. It's adultery. And it's disobedience to what God said. You can magnify that in so many different areas. But listen, Satan will wreck a Christian home through disobedience. So let's be obedient to what He said. Amen. Amen? Let's be obedient to our vows. Something else. And this is an interesting one. Go back to Luke chapter number 22. Interesting way that Satan will wreck a Christian home here. Luke chapter number 22. You see doubt and dabbling and dereliction and disobedience. Something else we see here in Luke chapter 22. End of the chapter here, verse number 61. Well, look at verse 60, if you would. Here we have the third denial of Peter, and Jesus said that He would, and Peter said, "Nope, I'll die for you. I'll never deny you." In verse 60, it says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." And I have in the margin of my Bible a look that made a man weep. "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." You say, "Pastor, how does this apply?" Well, I'll tell you something else that Satan will use to wreck our homes, and it's defeat. Defeat. Have you ever lost a spiritual battle? That's a rhetorical question. "Pastor, I've lost spiritual battles all week long." Me too. Help me. Amen. Me too. But what'll happen is, after you suffer so many defeats, after you've started reading your Bible so many times and stopped, after you've started to try to gather the family up for devotions and it just kind of tapers off, you know what the devil says? Just quit. And some people do. And I promise you, it'll be a wreck if you do. Hey, listen, the one the Bible says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Don't let the devil defeat you. You say, "I want to have devotions," then start tonight. And don't worry about tomorrow, and don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow never comes. Today is what you have, and it's God's present for you. Amen? But He'll use defeat. How many homes have been wrecked through defeat? Just got tired of fighting. Just got tired of fighting against the devil. Just too many defeats, too many losses. Listen, don't think that way. The Bible says in Jesus Christ we can have the victory. Amen? Defeat. Acts chapter 24. Go here. Acts chapter 24. Number six. Bit of a, just a topical study tonight as we close this series of messages. Acts chapter 24, look at verse number 23, please. A sixth way that God will wreck, or God, not God, I'm sorry, but Satan will wreck a godly home is found in Acts chapter 24. Look at verse 23. It says, "And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister and come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" You say, "Pastor, what's the sixth point? The sixth way that Satan will try to wreck our home is through delay. Delay." You say, "What do you mean, Pastor, about that?" Good intentions do not equal good actions. You and I have heard it 100 times in our life. The road to hell is paved with good intent. I'm going to get to church one day, and I'm going to get down there. Same way in our homes. God speaks to us about something in our homes that change. When we delay, Satan gets in there. How do you know, Pastor? Happened to me. God put his finger on some area of my life and said, "Change that, get rid of that, remove that." And I waited. And Satan got a foothold. Listen, it happens to every one of us. God tells us to make a decision. God tells us to choose who's on the Lord's side. And we delay. I mentioned several times, I played goalkeeper for 15 years. And I really liked it, actually. They didn't have a football program at our school. And I was pretty athletic. I would have played football, but goalie's the next best thing, because you can really ram people around and they don't even penalize you for it. You know, you can whack people, and I just had a lot of fun with it. But I learned this playing goalie. When a guy got all the way through, and again, playing goalie is funny because when they score on you, they blame the goalie, but it went through 15 other guys before it got to you, you know. But when you play goalie, you learn this. When you get a guy in a breakaway, delay is death. You can't hesitate. You've got to choose and move. You've got to do it. Listen, if God puts his finger on an area of your life that needs to change, don't delay. Husband, maybe he's been working on you about praying more with your wife. You say, "Well, we both pray." I understand. And I understand schedules are busy and hectic and all that. Maybe he's put his finger on you about praying together with your family, with your people. Don't delay. Don't delay. Number seven, back in Luke chapter 15. Back in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we ought to be very familiar with this chapter, amen? Chapter of lost things. We preached for 5 weeks on the prodigal son earlier this year. Verse number 12. It says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.'" You know, something else that will always cause a wreck in a Christian home is demanding. Demanding. Selfishness. Selfishness. You know, folks, there's no room in a godly Christian home for selfishness. If God is there, and if God is going to be exalted, and God is going to be magnified in our home, there's just no room for selfishness. Amen. And listen, we all have a bend towards selfishness. Why? We've got flesh hanging off our spirit, amen? We've got this flesh that we have to deal with. But I promise you, that demanding person is, I want this, and I want this, and do this, and do this, is heading for a wreck in their home. Could be the husband, could be the wife, could be the children. Many a time, it is a child that puts a wreck in a Christian home through demanding, delay, defeat, disobedience, dereliction, dabbling, doubt. Lastly, let me give you some dangers. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And we talked this morning, so we'll not dwell long here, but young people especially, would you listen to me for just a couple moments? The job you choose is either going to present a danger or it's not. No Christian young person should ever put themselves in a situation where they have to put their hands on liquor. Say amen. No Christian young person ought to. See, it's a danger that can wreck a home. I think of young people, the college that you choose. It's a danger. Why? Because probably you're going to meet your spouse there. And again, as I said, we mentioned this morning. But listen, you ought not to even consider marrying somebody that's not a Christian. And can I say this too? Just because they name the name of Christ doesn't mean you ought to marry them either. Amen? How about think about so many dangers that lurk around that are within and without the Christian home. And Satan will take those dangers and he will wreck a Christian home. You know what I don't want? I don't want any homes that are represented in our church from this moment forward to ever be wrecked. Never. I want you to stand up, Brother Mark and Shelley, after 63 years and say it's our 63rd wedding anniversary. Praise God. Did we do everything right? No. Good night. Of course not. Pastor, do you do everything right? No. I've got flesh too. Help me. But we want God to be honored. And we have to do a little inspection and introspection to make sure that the devil doesn't wreck our Christian homes. Homes take a long time to build. And they don't take long to wreck. I've seen some of this flooding through Irene, literally taking houses away. Just a little water. All started with one drop of water. Hey, listen, let's watch out for the wrecking of a Christian home. Let's bow our heads.